Welcome to From Trauma to True Love, the podcast where we break the cycle of painful relationships and build deep, lasting love you can trust. I'm Layla Reyes, a relationship coach, speaker, and author of Freedom from Shame, Trauma, Forgiveness, and Healing from Sexual Abuse. I'm here to help you release the invisible wounds from your past that may be holding you back from the love you truly desire. In each episode, we'll uncover the hidden patterns shaped by early childhood trauma, explore how they impact your relationships today, and guide you toward creating the partnership you were born to have. Whether you're looking to attract the one, deepen an existing connection, or finally feel safe in love, this is a space to discover what's possible. Let's dive into your journey from trauma to love. Welcome to today's episode of From Trauma to True Love, where we make the connection between early childhood trauma and the quality of our adult relationships. My guest today is Jeannie Bird. She's a friend and a colleague who's an integrative nutritionist and a relationship coach with a passion for helping people transform their health and love lives. Jeannie believes that by caring for your body, you can create the foundation for deep, healthy relationships. She's an expert in helping individuals use the power of food, movement, and mindset to heal their bodies and transform their lives. She has her own podcast called Love Sugar, Transforming Love Lives One Bite at a Time. I highly recommend that you take a listen to that. And it has a focus on the mind-body connection. Jeannie's work illuminates how caring for your physical and emotional well-being opens the door to deep, loving connections that we all deserve. And Jeannie, welcome, welcome, welcome. You've experienced numerous physical challenges and heartbreak during, shared a little bit about your career, your celebrated career in film. And you you've completed a master's degree in health coaching. And that's helped you and your clients achieve vibrant physical, emotional health in preparing to meet their beloved, which you have done, your beloved Daniel, who has, come into your life. What a wonderful, you help others call in their highest and best love, and you called in yours.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Using the calling and the one principles, he was instructed to read the book and do the work, and I was his coach.
Oh, I didn't know that. You're kidding me. I missed that part. Look at you. When you spot it, you got it, right?
That's right.
All right. I'm a lot of my clients are going to be saying, I'll have what she's having.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm really interested in the mind-body connection, and I hope that this conversation really helps people to take a deeper look at how focusing on their own mind-body connection can have a positive impact on their relationships. So I really appreciate you being here with me, and I'm wondering if you could share just how your journey led you to combine integrated nutrition with relationship coaching.
Right. Well, in working in the entertainment industry, in the film industry for about 33 years. So it's, it was wonderfully intense and creative and took me all over the world. However, in the positions, well, mostly anybody who works on a film set, you sort of agree to give up your life in service to the movie or to the show, whatever that might be.
Wow.
And so your physical person, really goes on the back burner. I mean, literally in my position as what we call a script supervisor, I had to be there on the set when the camera's rolling every single minute, and the camera's usually rolling So if I ever had to go to the bathroom or something like that, I just had to hold it because camera's rolling. And then finally, when the camera wasn't rolling, I would even have a PA, a production assistant, follow me to the bathroom and stand outside the stall in case somebody had a question that I needed to answer. So that's the level of intensity. And so you can imagine that the adrenals were going, the cortisol levels were peaking, that stress hormone, the fight or flight was resonant in me really for 33 years. And so long about when I met Catherine in 2004 and started working with her in 2005, I really was listening to the calling in my heart to, get out of the film industry. I was done. It took me another 10 years to do that. And in that 10 years, that's really when my body started breaking down. And I've had 9 surgeries to take care of autoimmune conditions, bone on bone situations. And I realized that the stress had really gotten to me. And so that manifests in a way of, limiting what you can do physically, as well as, I was like fighting, knowing that I had to get better so that I could do my second calling, which is coaching. So I knew I had to leave. So 2015 was my last day on a film set ever.
Let me jump in
And
here. Let me jump in here because
yeah.
I'm hearing you share about your experience of just giving so much of yourself, like sacrificing your own needs and sacrificing your own well-being for the show must go on. I'm actually it's actually connecting me with my own experience of all the ways that I did that, not being in the field you were in, but just in my own relationships. Like I sacrificed so much of my beingness from this belief that I had after the abuse that happened in my life, and I just gave myself away, wore myself out, wore my body out, taking care of everybody else instead of myself. And so I just find it fascinating to hear you share that about this in your work. And I'm feeling the same thing in my own body. And I'm sure that a lot of my listeners here who have had trauma, early traumatic experiences where they've abandoned their own needs, their own well-being, just to be loved or just to be, feel like they matter or to, striving for the to feel some sense of worthiness,
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure that if I had had a childhood where, I was so cherished and adored, I wouldn't have really allowed this to be in my life. I would have said, I'm out of here. But there was a way that it just felt so familiar.
I love that. And that's exactly it. You said if you had a childhood where you felt cherished and adored, then you, right? And so then the then you might not have done that to yourself, right?
Right.
And
Yeah, I would have recognized that
yeah,
this was hurting me. This was compromising my life.
right. And that's part of waking up too, being able to like not put that on your childhood any longer, right? Like this happened to you, this happened to me, it happened to our clients in their early childhood, our early childhood. And then the belief that we have to do this in order, right? So we put that on, oh, this happened to me, so then I have to show up in this other way. So I think that we're probably on the same page around this with Catherine's work, which here's a little side note where because we didn't mention this, Catherine Woodward Thomas wrote the book Calling in the One, and we both, Jeannie and I both worked with her and are both some of her, two of her certified coaches. Jeannie actually was, you were in the first cohort, right? We're like the
First.
foundation of it. And so these, so then we take responsibility, right? We have to see ourselves. This is one of Catherine's core ideas here is that we're the source of our experience. So while you aren't the source of what happened to you when you were a kid, you're the source of your experience today, believing what happened to you, believing the meaning you made out of what happened to you, which then will limit the love that you can hold in your life, allow in.
Allow in. And also, as adults, we have to make empowered meaning out of all of that happened so
Right.
that we don't recreate it as being, this is our fate that we live
Right,
from
right.
birth to death, right? It's like, no way. We're going to
Exactly.
live our destiny life. We just have to
Right.
create it. So
That's right. And our
that's.
destiny life really includes being in a healthy relationship with your body. Right. And so, I guess what I'm curious about is how you see the role nutrition plays in healing from the impacts of early trauma.
Well, there's many different. Of course, there's food. Food is our medicine. And the problem is today, I could go on forever about that, but the problem is that we're actually being poisoned, by our food rather than food as medicine, unless you're really being helped and guided by, people such as myself and doctors who really do, and anybody in the health industry who really does know and care about food and its impact on your health, on your physical health, as opposed to, companies like Monsanto who are trying to just addict us by adding flavors to food that just become addictive and like we can't stop eating it, and then we develop, all of the autoimmune diseases and worse ADD, ADHD, sometimes even schizophrenia because the body is very sensitive to these foreign substances and then especially in your gut. Creating irritable bowel syndrome and Graves' disease, Crohn's disease. So, all of these foods that are ingested are really dimming our life force, basically.
And how would you say those core beliefs that we the meanings that we give to what happened to us, how, I'm not sure exactly how I want to ask this question, but it's from what you said, it's like then the food, here we are poisoning ourselves with food. And what came to me was, oh, I poisoned myself with the belief that I don't matter. Like it's a mind poison, if you will, that I am believing this, that I don't matter, or that I'm not loved, or that, all of these core false beliefs that we work with in calling in the one. And and how does that poison then interact with the poison of the choices that we make for what we're putting into our bodies?
Absolutely. Well, if we're living inside that, what we call a, a false belief, a false love identity. If we're living inside of that, then it makes perfect sense that we would be eating things that confirm that that's true.
Right,
So we keep
right,
creating evidence, right?
right.
And so we're not really caring about what we eat. And when I was working on the film set, you're kind of in a hurry. It's always like, and it's like I was always working at lunch, and so I'm just like stuffing food in, that's pretty convenient. Not realizing at the time that it was contributing to my body breaking down. And so the stress, it's the stress, it's the food choices. And then your relationship with yourself suffers, certainly, because there's this, it's a huge form of self-abandonment to not eat healthily, to not take your time, to not research what is the food that is going to love you back, that is going to make you feel energized, excited about your day, excited to contribute, experience, express, contribute, whatever that is for you in your life. If you feel like there's this fog, descending around you that makes you a bit complacent. I use this in my chapter that I wrote, I was telling you about, and I use it in some of the workshops I've given in the past. It's a pretty common one, but it's like, so this woman creates this beautiful intention to call in love in her life, and the intention is just gorgeous. And so her intention is then to go out and meet people, you know. And so but she's sitting on the couch eating Häagen-Dazs basically night after night after night. So that's dulling her resolve, dulling her intention, dulling her commitment to go out and interact with people, with the opposite sex, to find her beloved, all of those things. And so she just sits on the couch night after night, you know. And so what that ice cream, that's or whatever it might be, your wine, your pizza, you know, is creating is this dullness, this lack of drive, this lack of urgency. You know, so there is that gap, and she's nowhere near closing the
How do
gap.
you close that gap in the work that you do?
Well, using the calling and the one principles, of course, and then with my program, Healthy Love, we incorporate other modules, if you will. We have the transformative practices, plus we have the healthy foods where I do an intake form, and we talk about their fast and what they have eaten, and then I encourage them to get a microbiome test, a gut test, so that we can. Yeah, it's really important to do that, to see what is in your gut. And that's where, luckily, nutrition will be going. It's there, but hopefully will be mainstream, so that there are no particular pills that you take, as much as you get what your own gut is doing,
So
what
let me,
it's.
I'd love to hear a little bit about that, 'cause I know I've heard the word microbiome before, but I'm not sure that it's in the mainstream lexicon in the conversation. And so could you explain the concept of the gut being the second brain? I think you talked about that before, and the significance in emotional well-being in relationships. Can you talk about
Absolutely. Basically, the gut or the microbiome, the same thing. It's actually, you know, it is our second brain, because basically through the vagus nerve, which we have, the vagus nerve begins at our brain stem and goes down through our body, around the organs, into the gut, and then it's bidirectional. So then it comes back up the front and into the brain. So it's constantly sending messages. So what is on the tip of your fork, what you're eating, then goes into your body, as does the messaging begin between the brain and the gut to determine whether, do I like that? Is that good for me? How is that altering my mood? You know, what is that doing to my cortisol levels? And you know, what is that doing to my, is that making me fight or flight, or is that more of a rest and digest situation, which is then altering your mood? So the food does contribute it to affecting your mood in a
So,
healthy way or a non-healthy way.
of course, of course. So, how can people harness the power of their, so you're saying microbiome and the gut, so your stomach, is it, that's what, were we talking about stomach as
That's where, yeah.
most people, yeah. So what's going on in your stomach? So how can you harness the power of your microbiome to improve physical health and relational health? So how can you harness that power? What can
Well,
somebody
first of
do?
all, to choose and work with somebody, if you don't know, to choose healthy foods, you know,
What's
because the
the healthiest Häagen-Dazs out there? I'm gonna get that.
Well,
Sorry.
you know, making ices from fruits, you know, you can like put them in the blender, put your watermelon and your strawberries and your berries, and then put them in the blender, and then pour them like into cupcake things, you know, like you do cupcakes, and then freeze them, make
Oh my
popsicles
goodness.
out
What
of these. And so you
fabulous.
have the greatness of the fruit, which is so good for you. Watermelon and strawberries and other berries are so good for you. So freeze them. You know, there are so many things to make healthy foods fun. It's just we're so used to just, you know, going to the store and buying. And then also, so eating then more healthily, learning what, obviously your fruits and your vegetables, your proteins, and avoiding, like for example, what the American diet, the SAD diet, we call it, the standard American diet is called SAD, which should be very informative to people.
I'm crying.
very sad.
Let me ask you,
But
let me, oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say the one thing that, so people eat, Americans is, the burger and the fries. And, the white flour of the bun, which is bad anyway, flour. There's nothing nutritious about white flour in any food group. Then combined with the potato, just a russet potato that's been deep fried, first of all, in some horrible vegetable oil that is clogging your arteries. Then, but the combination that is the worst is the potato and the flour. That combination is kryptonite to the potential for blood sugar to be raised and diabetes to then follow.
I see. Well, I think that that is really good for us to know, and I think it's a little more detailed than in terms of specifics here, but we'll tell people don't eat bread and potatoes together.
Together, I know.
Right.
I'm still trying to get my husband to wrap his head around that.
Well, here, so my question to you though is, because I'm seeing this woman on the couch that you were referring to, eating the Häagen-Dazs every night, as somebody like, for me, that would be depression. Like, I'm already feeling depressed, not now, but I have in the past. And so I'm imagining myself sitting there feeling depressed, like not having that motivation, not having that, and just then eating something that isn't good for me, but not really like having any like oomph to go do something different, feeling stuck. And for me, this is a connection between that early wounding. I'll always go back to the core false belief that I don't matter. So I'm not gonna, I'm not gonna, I'm gonna sit on the couch and not do what matters, what would matter to my body. But what would you say to this woman who has been, has this childhood trauma, who doesn't see the things that we see today? Because we both, I know you have, and I know I have, we worked really hard to for the awareness. The awareness we have today around these things cost us something. We had to invest time and energy. We had to invest the willingness to look at ourselves and what we were doing at very deep levels, right? And so now we're giving some direction to this person who doesn't have that same awareness, but has the desire for healthy relationships, has the desire for healthy love, wants to get up off the couch, wants to take better care, but doesn't really know what's. What would you tell her? What practical step? What's the first thing you would say to this person that's a bite, we'll say bite size action that they can take?
Well, I think first of all, before I would work with her on the calling in the one modality, I would say, do the substitute to the ice cream that I shared with you.
Oh, yeah.
Do that first so that you, first of all, you're going to then alter your mood in a
Yeah.
constructive way, in a healthy way. You're going to feel differently about your intention that you were trying to live into. So, first of all, change the behavior.
Yeah.
In this case, now sometimes it's not going to be, as we know, right? We're going to work with the false belief first and help the person alter the false belief. But in this case, she's just got to stop doing what she's doing so that she can have a corrective experience in the way she feels about her health.
I think you're naming it really well. This is something I write about in my book as well, is you can have an intention. You can have a desire for something in your life, but you actually need to take the action. You have to step outside of the familiar way of being. You have to step outside of what's comfortable because that's the way you've known it. And you have to take an action outside of that. And so in this situation, we could say that the comfortable familiar is sitting on the couch eating what you've always eaten in the past. And the uncomfortable action that you might not like in the beginning is to, change the ice cream that you are eating, right? And make this like one small action is just changing that. And then I would add something else, which would be notice how you feel about yourself when you've made this choice. Like, what does it actually do to the way that you making this other choice? What impact does it have on your body, on your mind, on your heart to actually take this other action that's actually a testament to caring for yourself, right?
It's an act of love. It's caring about yourself and then allowing yourself to feel good and proud of yourself that I took a positive action in the direction of my dreams. So I'm becoming proactive in creating this love that I've been desiring, you know.
I remember being clinically depressed and not, this has been several many years ago, but really the feeling in my own body was kind of like stuck in quicksand in a way. Like it was really like the movement, the sluggish movement, like it was really difficult to take any step forward. And all I wanted to do was nothing. All I wanted to do at that time was nothing. And so it really does, I don't know, it's like to hold somebody accountable, but in a loving way, to guide them towards what their deeper being really wants, you know? How do you hold people who are coming to you with that kind of like sluggish movement forward? What's your
Well,
way of
yeah, that's just a lot of resistance. So I engage the resistance, you know, by just being really, I mean, it's a little bit of tough love. But before I get into that, I've already earned their trust. You know, that's why we pretty much start with the transformative stuff first, the transformative practices to get us to what is actually the truth, unless we have a situation like I just experienced with that lady, you know, who's just eating the Haagen-Dazs, get that change. And you know, it's really about getting someone to just have the faith and to trust the coach that they really have their best interests at heart and that you're going to be there to guide them. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to abandon them. You're right there in it with them, you know, and that you hold their hand a little bit. Let's just try it tonight. And then you'll call me in the morning. Tell me how you're feeling and we'll discuss it, you know, so that they know that every single time they do something different, that the coach is going to be right there witnessing them, you know,
Well,
encouraging them.
and that's interesting too. I mean, just in terms of what you're talking about with trust, because for those of us who have experienced early trauma, trust is one of the things that has been violated. And so, maybe I'm coming to you and I don't have a lot of trust, and yet you're there. I need to trust you in to guide me on that journey, but yet this lack of trust I have isn't anything about you, right? It's about my own experience and my own feeling like, oh yeah, she's going to let me down just like everyone else did. So how do what would you suggest to somebody who has had that experience of being let down so many times and now is like, I need help and I need to find somebody that can guide me and support me on this journey because I can't do it myself. So what should they look for?
Well, what I would help them, first of all, I help them really get clarity on their intention. You know, what is it that they deeply desire to create in their life? You know, what is that? Is it a love, or is it a career? Is it having a child? You know, whatever that deepest desire for their lives is. And then I would do, you know, depending on how much they've shared with me, then I craft a visioning meditation with them that I say to them, you know, so that I, you know, like
Start
put
to
their
get.
visioning goggles on and start to get excited about that vision. And then I would do everything I shared, you know, guide them, you know, step by step, so that they feel supported, so that they feel that they have, you know, someone they can trust, you know, to guide them on the journey, to be their vision keeper, really, you know, to remind them about who they really are, to, you know, find out what all their strengths and resources, and keep mirroring that back to them as we go on the parallel journeys of the health and the seeking love.
Good. Thank you. How would you say, 'cause I think you talk about movement too, physical activity. How can movement and physical activity serve as medicine for creating change in someone's physical, emotional, or mental state, especially from healing from trauma?
Yeah, well, movement, you know, is just so self-honoring, you know, to the body, to the psyche. And also, you know, the movement just makes you feel good about your body, being in your body, you know, and just being able to test the limits to see, you know, how much can I run, or how much can I trot, or how many, you know, shots of pickleball can I get over the net, you know, that time of thing. So where you're also engaging your brain, and it's so good for your brain to be able to move. It's good to get out in the sunlight and move your body, because that is affecting your mood. That's affecting the way you feel about your life. You know, in the 10 minutes of sun in the morning when it's not hot is just the best thing that you can do for yourself. Sit outside and meditate, and then do your walking. You know, walk for 2 miles. That's not very far. Do yoga, which I love, the hot yoga, because you are sweating. You are sweating all those toxins out of your body, leaving all that water on the mat, you know. And working out too at the gym, the resistance of the weights is just so good for your body. And it just makes you feel good. Then you want to get dressed afterwards, after you shower and dressed, and you know, you want to walk around with your toned body. It just feels so much better, you know. And then you feel good about also, you know, as we talk about in week five of calling in the one with your relationship with your body, and preparing, you know, to call in a romantic partner, you want to feel good about your body. You know, you want to be able to move your body, you know. And even me, with all of my re everything is replaced. I don't have a joint that is real anymore. Everything is titanium. So, but so I move. I mean, I just practice moving all the time, all the time. I'm even sitting on a ball. So right now, I'm working my abs as I sit here all the time.
Oh, good for you. You're
But
so inspiring.
it's just about, you know, really being mindful about your body is your vessel, right? It's to have a reverent, you know, I love, my favorite word is reverence. I just love the word reverence. We need to develop a reverence for ourselves.
Well, you're speaking to this kind of around the edges, but how can someone, I think you're going to say movement, but and get outdoors, but let me just see if I'm right on this. But how can someone begin to transform the toxic beliefs about their body and sexuality to embrace life as a vibrant sexual being? I mean,
Yeah.
I think you're going to say get out there and move, you know, get out there and move.
No, I would start with, you know, making empowered meaning of the past. I would take them through all of the feelings and the needs, to really discover what those have been, and through, you know, that false belief and what has been there false love identity,
Wow.
and then to take him through what's really true. And I don't want to take
Hold on.
anybody.
Hold on one second, because we're using some terminology here that I just want to
Oh, yeah, right.
define with, this is some of Catherine Woodward Thomas's work, the false love identity, which a false love identity is the meaning that you made, so maybe it's I'm not loved, I don't matter. So these are false love identities through which, when you believe that, then you create more of the same in your adult life. And
Yeah.
so when you kind of in the calling and the one, some of the practices and that we use inside of that with our clients, Jeannie and I are both certified in this in the calling and the one program, then we're looking at how to make empowered meaning. That was another terminology that we are using here that Catherine created. And to make empowered meaning would be to say what is actually true about this belief you have about yourself. What's more true, she would say, what's more true than what you've been telling yourself, basically.
Right. And then asking those questions, you have the opportunity to have them share with you what are their strengths and what are their resources? Where are they actually winning in life?
Yeah, love
You
that.
know, so you connect the dots, you know, so it's, you know, they have evidence of their greatness already.
Right. That's such a wonderful feeling to finally get that evidence. I know firsthand from that.
Yes.
Can you share a success story where integrating nutrition and relationship coaching led to a significant healing and transformation?
Yeah. Yeah, I worked with a client, and I had taken her through conscious uncoupling with her divorce. And then she contacted me, like, you know, about 6 months later, and she says, I need to go deeper. I want to even go deeper than that. And my health, you know, just is really bad. I'm just making really bad choices. So I took her through my own healthy love program that incorporates Catherine's transformative practices with health oriented physiological, and again, all the microbiome knowledge, nutrition package for her. You know, new ways of relating to food and new ways of relating to herself inside of the transformative practices. So I took her through that. And within, like, oh, I would say another 6 months, she had finished her PhD degree, and was dating and had totally transformed her relationship with her two teenage daughters.
Wow.
And was feeding them incredible. I mean, their meals together at home had totally been transformed, and that was the most exciting to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, she was just a different person because she was living every single thing we discussed with every module. She put it into practice into her life.
Wow.
So I mean,
Yeah.
she achieved other things that she was looking to achieve.
Yeah.
By
Wonderful.
changing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she had a terrible false belief of I don't matter as well. That was raging
Yeah.
when we began.
I like to think that that's the worst one. It's mine, but whatever yours is, I guess is the worst one because you're living it. But
Yeah.
what freedom to start treating myself like I matter, to start, moving my body, to start. I started doing some of these things that you're recommending. Like I've been going to the gym now for like 3 or 4 months now, and so and I
Good.
Oh, look at you've got some definition in your arms. And that feels good. It encourages me to then I want to eat better and I wanna, do that. So so your transformation, I guess, could start from one small action in the direction towards your vision for yourself, right? But what advice would you give to someone just starting their journey towards healing from childhood trauma and really wanting to build healthy relationships? How would you connect that to their nutrition and body and What would you?
Yeah, I would do both. I would work with somebody and do just what I was saying that I did with, this other woman. I would approach, the eating at the same as the same time as their inner life. And what's the meaning that they've been making about themselves? And that's the whole point, is to connect the dots between what somebody's eating and how they feel about themselves and the possibilities that they hold or not for love. Because if they're just going down the same old rabbit hole, eating the same way, and as you know, living inside of the false identity, then where is the hope? There's no growth or possibility there.
That could be a
So.
really good practice for someone who's listening to this, is to just what you said right now is to track, like write down whatever you eat, then write down what it is that you're feeling, how you feel after you're eating. What do you feel even before that caused you to go get that slice of pizza or the ice cream? How are you feeling afterwards? And that could be you could have some moments of insight into making that mind-body connection, right?
I mean, literally, like you could hold it. Hold this piece of pizza, and what am I going to gain by eating this? How am I, and just what you said, I love that. What were they feeling before and after they eat that piece of pizza? How do they feel?
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Jeannie, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your insights on the connection between physical well-being and the cultivation of healthy relationships. Your expertise has really provided our listeners here with valuable perspectives on healing from early trauma and embracing vibrant, authentic love. Before we end, could you let everyone know how they can find you, where your podcast is, and any last words that you might want people to know?
Sure. Well, you can find my podcast, Love Sugar, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or I have a YouTube channel, Jeannie Bird, Jeannie.bird. So you can check me out.
BYRD.
BYRD, yes, like the Admiral. Or else my website is called jeanniebird.com. And the program I was referring to is called Healthy Love, which is on there as well.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And I think just in parting, I just think, that in the world that we live in today, we are spoon-fed so much, influences that are detracting us from our essence, if you will, and to just develop mindfulness, what we're doing, what we're feeling, being aware of what we're feeling, being aware of what we're doing, so that we can create a life of substance.
I love that. I love that. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, Jeannie, for your generosity, for your wisdom,
My pleasure.
heart. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this journey of growth and healing. Your commitment to creating a life of love and connection is truly inspiring. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Thank you for joining me on this episode of From Trauma to True Love. I honor your courage for being here, taking steps towards the love and connection that you truly desire. I've been there too, stuck in painful patterns, longing for love but unsure how to create it in a way that felt safe, real, and lasting. You don't have to figure it all out on your own. If you're ready to explore what's been holding you back, and discover what's truly possible for your relationships, I would love to support you. Visit Leila Reyes, LeilaReyes, Leila Reyes, and schedule a call today. We'll take the first step together toward the deep, meaningful love that you were born to have. I can't wait to connect with you. Until next time, take good care of yourself and know that real, lasting love is within your reach.